Well, let's pray and go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to be in your presence. I thank you for your word. The Bible tells us your word is active and living, sharper than any two-edged sword, capable of piercing to the division of spirit and of soul, of both joints and marrow, and even discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart from afar. And we pray that your word will speak to us today, even as we hear this message that you have all along prepared for us to hear at this special hour. And so we commit this time to you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, that you will minister to our hearts and lift us up in you. And we will give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Well, Patricia St. John, who has been described as an ordinary woman with an extraordinary faith, poured out her life ministering to people in the neediest places on our planet. She was in Sudan when war refugees flooded that country. They had suffered terribly and had lost everything. Yet those among them who were Christians still gave thanks to God. Patricia said that she stood one night in a crowded little Sudanese church listening to those uprooted believers singing joyfully to the Lord. Suddenly, a life-changing insight burned its way into her mind. "We will have changed their circumstances," she said, "but we will not have changed them." She realized that God does not always lift people out of the situation. He himself comes into the situation. He does not pluck them out of darkness, but he becomes the light in the darkness. You see, at the heart of Patricia's moving story is that even in the face of great suffering and loss, the displaced Sudanese believers were joyful and thankful. That, I tell you folks, is real triumph in tragedy. So this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you at this special hour in your life and my life. And please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth in order to change true born-again believers among us here more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the great, the good shepherd, and the glorious sanctifier of the church, and to convict unbelievers of their sin of unbelief, graciously leading them into a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of sinners. So here is the message in a nutshell. Please listen to it with an open heart and an open mind. Through the Holy Spirit's presence and power, the believer in Jesus Christ can overcome personal tragedy to live a triumphant and thriving life to the glory of God. I repeat, through the Holy Spirit's presence and power, the believer in Jesus Christ can overcome personal tragedy to live a triumphant and thriving life to the glory of God. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Jesus Christ and fellow believers in Christ Jesus in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually present to us a remarkable example of triumph in tragedy at the first Christmas. You see, the story of triumph in tragedy, which we are about to look at, doesn't get much attention at Christmas time, let alone at other times in the calendar of the church. It is often passed over. But I tell you, friends, it is a great story with great spiritual lessons for all who have ears to hear and hearts to receive. So please, if you have your Bibles today, turn them to Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. The Bible says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage." And had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. "And then as a widow to the age of 84. I was hearing people talking about their age today. To the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." So this is the word of God to the people of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us a passage of scripture which consists of only two sentences in the original, namely verses 36 to 37, one sentence, and verse 38, one sentence. This two sentence passage in the original can be accurately described as a passage of tragedy and triumph. That is why I have entitled this Christmas message, Triumph in Tragedy. It's obvious, but I'm going to ask it. Why is this passage one of tragedy and one of triumph? Well, please listen. First of all, this passage is a passage of tragedy because, please listen, it graphically presents to us the personal tragedy and loss in the life of Anna. You see, Anna's dreams of having a fruitful and fulfilling long and lasting marriage were certainly shattered. After only 7 years of marriage, she became a widow. And several of you here are widows, so you can identify with her. Please understand that widowed women were particularly vulnerable and powerless in the ancient world. As such, life for a widow was hard, if not hopeless. What sorrow, what sadness must have filled her heart? Shattered dreams, sorrow, sadness, feeling vulnerable and powerless, all vividly reveal Anna's personal tragedy in life. Are you or someone you know experiencing personal tragedy at this moment in your life? If so, you can identify with Anna and let the Holy Spirit touch your heart in a special way as he speaks to you today. Well, second, this passage is one of triumph because it gloriously portrays Anna's triumphant and thriving life, even in the face of great loss. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Anna overcame the sorrow and sadness of her personal tragedy and shattered dreams to live a triumphant, thriving, and thankful life to the glory of God, leaving us an example to follow. You see, Anna could have grown bitter and resentful and even rebellious against God. She could have spent the rest of her time blaming God for allowing life to be hard for her. But she was not bitter, and she did not blame God, as some people do today in our time. Rather, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Anna lived a life of blessing God, and she was rewarded with one of the greatest blessings of all times. And that is the blessing of beholding God in the person of Jesus Christ at the first Christmas. So these then are the reasons why this passage of study is a passage of triumph, a tragedy, and triumph. Well, having simply whetted your appetite, your spiritual appetite, and I hope you have a big one, please allow me to give you a concise overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present to you this passage from start to finish. First of all, we will look at the Bible's personal description of Anna in verses 36 to 37a. We know nothing about Anna except what these verses tell us. But even in this brief compass, the inspired writer, Dr. Luke, has drawn us a complete character sketch of Anna. Just three verses, but we have the complete character sketch of Anna. The Bible's personal description of Anna begins with her personal name and ends with the personal tragedy in her life. And since this passage is the only passage preserved by the Holy Spirit for us to learn about Anna, may I say to you that every word here is relevant and rich. And you will do well to pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit is about to teach us from the life of Anna. Well, second, we will examine the Bible's teaching regarding the perseverance of Anna in verse 37b. I tell you, friends, Anna distinguished herself as a widow of persevering devotion to God. You see, even though life dealt her a bitter blow, yet she never ceased to worship God. She spent her life in the house of God, worshiping God and serving God. That, I tell you, friends and folks, is perseverance or persevering devotion to God. Third, we will discuss or consider what the Bible reveals about the passion of Anna in verse 38a. But you ask, what does the Bible reveal about Anna's passion in life? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. Please listen. Anna's passion in life was a thriving life of thankfulness to God. She dedicated herself to giving thanks to God, privately and publicly. What a passion to have in life. Pouring out your heart in thankfulness, not only when life is all good and great for you, but also when life is filled with hardships and heartaches. Do you know somebody like that who is all dedicated to giving thanks to God, no matter the circumstances in his or her life? Well, you see an example in Anna. Well, fourth and finally, we will examine what the Bible teaches concerning the proclamation of Anna in verse 38b. You see, Anna recognized Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. That is the Christ, the Anointed One. As such, she never ceased proclaiming Jesus to all the ones expecting redemption in Jerusalem. I love Anna. But you say, why do you love her? Well, I tell you why. Please listen. The main subject of her conversation is Jesus the Messiah. The Bible says, as we will look at the end of this message, she continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. You see, Anna didn't make the trials and troubles of her widowhood the main subject or the talking point in her life. Rather, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ and him alone dominated her proclamation to all those who had ears to hear and hearts to receive. Anna says, I want my legacy to be a legacy of what? Speaking to people about Jesus Christ. When all is said and done about my life, I want people to remember me for this, that I've been a woman a widow who suffered greatly and yet spoke of Jesus Christ the rest of my life. So having given you a brief overview of our passage of study, let's dig deeper to discover the precious lessons the Holy Spirit is so enthused to impress upon your hearts and my heart in order to do his transforming work in the lives of all those who are ready and willing to hear the message he has for us today and be transformed by that message. So we begin first of all with his teaching, focusing on the Bible's personal description of Anna in verses 36 to 37a. Now, will you please notice carefully the Bible's brief but blessed personal description of Anna. The Bible says, and there was what? A prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84. Now in that brief description, the Bible presents us with 5 personal characteristics of Anna. 5. So let's note all of them. Please notice, first of all, we are given her personal name, Anna. Anna is the same name as Old Testament Hannah. It means gracious or favor. Actually, I'm following the word order in the original, which begins by saying, and there was Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. You see, Anna was like Simeon, a member of the faithful remnant of Israel, who was waiting expectantly for the coming of the Messiah. Second, we are told that Anna was a prophetess. Now, this refers to a woman who spoke God's word. This also indicates that she was unusually close to God. To be a prophetess, you must be what? Very close to God, able to receive what? A message from God and be able to communicate that message to people. So this was Anna, a woman who had an unusually close relationship with God. Her main role as a prophetess was to speak for God, proclaiming his truth. Actually, it will pleasantly surprise you to know that the Bible mentions only a few women who were prophetesses. I know most of you know the first one. So let me mention this prophetesses the Bible mentions. They are Miriam, Exodus 15:20, Deborah, Judges 4:4, Huldah, 2 Kings 22 verse 14, Isaiah chapter 8 verse 3 refers to the prophet's wife as a prophetess. So you have Isaiah the prophet and then his wife a prophetess. Also there is Noadiah. In Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 14, was a prophetess who had gained a bad reputation. So these are the prophetesses mentioned in the Old Testament. You can put them on your one hand. Anna is the first prophetess mentioned in the New Testament, and a woman by the name of Jezebel is the last prophetess to be mentioned in the New Testament. But she also, like Noadiah, had a bad reputation. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the Bible's mention of prophetesses are very few. Now I know today there are people who claim they are prophetesses. So be very careful who you listen to, because not all of them, as we see in the Bible, are good. Well, third, the Bible gives us her paternity, that is, her paternal line. Her father's name, Phanuel, means face of God. That's very significant. But you say, what's significant about that? Well, it's significant because Anna will have the awesome privilege of seeing the face of God in the Christ child at the first Christmas. Well, fourth, the Bible tells us the particular tribe in Israel from which Anna descended. The Bible reveals to us that Anna, yeah, it's your name, I know, Anna was a descendant of one of the northern tribes, namely Asher, which had gone into captivity in 722 BC. Asher means happy. Apparently, Anna could trace her genealogy, and though the tribe of Asher was not outstanding, Luke considered it important to show her true Jewishness. So if you are a Jewish person, one of the things you want to, a Jewish, one of the things you want people to know about you is the tribe you come from. And we are able to know the tribe Anna came from. Often people say the 10 lost tribes of Israel, referring to the tribes which are gone into captivity, Assyrian captivity, in 722 BC. But here Anna is mentioned as a member of the tribe of Asher. Asher was one of those tribes that went into captivity. They took all of them and transported them to Assyrian captivity. But here the Bible tells us Anna is from the tribe of Asher. So evidently, Anna did not get lost. I remember the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said, you will be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So as far as God is concerned, there are no lost tribes of Israel. So the next time you hear that expression, the lost tribes of Israel, tell that person, as far as God is concerned, there are no lost tribes of Israel. Well, fourth, the Bible gives us, or fifth, the Bible gives us a glimpse of her personal tragedy. Anna lost her husband after only 7 years of marriage. You see, she was widowed at a time in the ancient world, as I mentioned in my introduction, when widowed women were particularly vulnerable and powerless. Remember how Jesus criticized some of the Pharisees who made a show of their piety while devouring widows' houses. I know some of you here are widows. So if you were to be living in the time of Anna, the Pharisees could have devoured your house and you'd be homeless. Also, Jesus' story of a persistent widow probably drew on the all too common experience of first century women who were left alone when their husbands died. So a widow's life was hard. She found herself often helpless and homeless. Anna's personal tragedy no doubt included being left alone to fend for herself in a world that was hostile to widowed women. Not only that, her personal tragedy also included the sorrow and sadness of losing a loved one. Not to speak of her shattered dreams of raising a family, of having a fruitful and fulfilling happy marriage. Remember, she's from the happy tribe of Israel. But here she found herself filled with sorrow and sadness. And I think of the dreams of serving the Lord together with her husband for a long time to come, of seeing their children and their grandchildren grow up before their eyes. All these dreams were abruptly shattered in her life. I don't know how many times she went to the graveside to weep over her shattered dreams. Though she was definitely a young widow, she never married again, but continued a widow to her dying day, which is mentioned here to her praise. Now, the Bible's reference to 84 years probably means she was an 84-year-old widow. So some of you here may be older than Anna. Since if she had been widowed for 84 years after a 7-year marriage, she would have been at least 104 years old, taking into consideration that in those days, they marry at the age of 13. So 13 plus 7 plus 84, that would make it 104 years old. But the point here is that, the point of Luke's story here is that Anna was a woman who had lived with personal tragedy for a very, very long time. And some of you here can identify with that. My mother has been a widow for 40 years. Because my father died when I was a little boy, and my mother had never remarried. Well, going back to Anna, she had lived with sorrow and sadness, heartache and hardship for decades. But as we are going to see soon, she didn't let her personal tragedy define the rest of her life. What about you today? What would you say is your personal tragedy in life? How long have you lived with it? A long time? A few months? Are you letting your personal tragedy define the rest of your life? Or are you genuinely desiring for Jesus to set you on the path of triumphing in your tragedy to the glory of His praise? Well, having presented to us a brief but blessed personal description of Anna, the Bible now begins to relate to us Anna's remarkable story of triumph. So please listen up very, very attentively. The Bible is now going to begin to relate to us Anna's remarkable story of triumph and tragedy. In fact, the Holy Spirit led Dr. Luke to present it in a thoughtful and thorough manner so that we will not miss the point of this message or his message. As such, the Holy Spirit now directs Luke to turn our attention to the perseverance of Anna in verse 37b. You see, we all know it. We've maybe experienced it. When we experience personal tragedy in life, our natural tendency is to give up on life and give up on the Lord. We want to quit. We want to throw in the towel. We want to walk away from the God we know. God, I quit. I can't take it anymore. Well, chances are you have said that a few times in your life when the going got tough for you. I've said that a few times in my life, if not more. But you see, my friend, those who triumph in tragedy are not people who quit on God or who walk away from God. Rather, they are those who press in on God in the Spirit. They are those who persevere in their devotion to God. They are those who pursue God even in the tough and trying times in their lives in reliance upon the Holy Spirit. And Anna was a perfect example of those people. Would you please notice or see that for yourself in the second part of verse 37. The Bible says, she, referring to Anna, never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. Can you imagine that? She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. I tell you, friends, Anna was a woman of persevering devotion to God in spite of all her personal tragedy. In fact, few other people in the Bible whose persevering devotion to God is described in this way. You never find this description of anyone. Actually, the temple spoken here is Herod's temple, which was quite large and included rooms for various uses. Anna may have been allowed to live in one of them permanently because of her unusual status as a prophetess. Well, the Bible's key point here is that Anna spent her waking hours attending and worshiping the Lord her God in the temple. Whenever the temple doors open, you see Anna there. You see, Anna going to the temple was not merely a ritual or a rule or a regulation to follow or a ritual to perform. Rather, it was her way of what? Expressing and enriching and enjoying her personal intimate relationship with God. In fact, Anna was the ideal widow described to us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. You want to see what God says about a widow that deserves to be honored within the church? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible tells us, "Now she who is a widow indeed, and who has been left alone," remember I told you the widows are left alone, "who has been left alone, has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day." Paul says, if you have a widow like that, let the church support that widow. And that's exactly what we see in Anna. Anna was a widow of persevering devotion. Anna was pressing on in God. He was pursuing God with all her heart and with all her soul and with all her mind. I tell you, friends, Anna's great age did not deter her from serving the Lord. And I want you to hear what Bible commentator William Barclay shares about Anna. It's a powerful insight about Anna. And I read, quote, "She was old and she had never ceased to hope. Age can take away the bloom and the strength of our bodies, but age can do worse. The years can take away the life of our hearts until the hopes that once we cherished die, and we become dully content and grimly resigned to things as they are. Again, it all depends on how we think of God. If we think of Him as distant and detached, we may despair. But if we think of Him as intimately connected with life, as having His hand on the helm, we too will be sure that the best is yet to be, and the years will never kill our hope." End quote. Actually, Anna's life of persevering devotion is a fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 6 to 7. Being a prophetess, Anna not only was fully aware of this prophecy, but she also, in the power of the Spirit, faithfully lived it out in her life. Listen to this prophecy and see if it doesn't fit Anna, because she was one of the people who lived out the fulfillment of this prophecy. The Bible says, God is speaking, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night." Notice that phrase. "All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give Him no rest until He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Anna was a woman of persevering devotion who didn't give God rest, and he didn't give herself rest. That, I tell you folks, is perseverance. Well, please notice how the Bible speaks of Anna's persevering devotion to God. It tells us Anna never ceased to pray. She lived a life of prayer. She gave herself to prayer. She was devoted to prayer, doing so with what? Fastings and supplications. You see, the Pharisees fasted often and made long, long prayers, but they served themselves and their own pride and greedy desires in their fastings and prayers. But in contrast, Anna not only did that which was good, but she did it from a good heart and with a good goal. That is the glory and honor of God. Before the Lord Jesus would teach that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, we see it in Anna's life. Before Paul would be led by the Holy Spirit to write, pray without ceasing, we see it here in Anna's life. Please be reminded again of this simple but significant lesson from Anna's life. Her life of persevering devotion to God, to the true God of Israel, was characterized by the practice of never ceasing to worship God and never ceasing to pray. This, I tell you friends, set Anna on the path of experiencing triumph in tragedy. But may I ask you today, what about you, believer in Jesus? Are you relying on the Holy Spirit to demonstrate persevering devotion to Jesus, even in the tough and trying times of your life? If Jesus were to measure and make known to us your level of persevering devotion to Him in the difficult times in your life, will it be something that brings a smile to your face, or will you cause shame to you? Well, in spite of her personal tragedy, Anna never ceased to pray, and Anna never ceased to worship. Bible commentator Matthew Henry wrote this relevant application from Anna's life, and I want to share it with you. It is, quote, "It is a pleasant sight to see aged Christians abounding in acts of devotion as those that are not weary of well-doing, that do not think themselves above these exercises or past them, but that take more and more pleasure in them and see more and more need of them till they come to heaven," end quote. Anna was like that. She took more and more pleasure in acts of devotion, prayer, fasting, worshiping the Lord. While having vividly shown us the perseverance of Anna, the Holy Spirit now leads us to speak of the passion, or leads Dr. Luke to speak of the passion of Anna in verse 38a. You see, Anna had known sorrow and sadness, and yet she had not grown bitter, and she did not blame God for the tragedy in her life. But you say, how do you know that? Well, I'm so glad you've asked again. Please listen carefully. A bitter person constantly complains. A bitter person blames God and others for the trials, the troubles, the tragedies in his or her life. You know people like that, and I know people like that. They are poison to be around. But that's not what we see Anna doing here. Would you please listen carefully to what the Bible says to us in that first part of verse 38. It says, at that very moment, she came up and began doing what? Giving thanks to God. Once more, Luke points out the providential timing. He did that earlier with Simeon. When the baby Jesus and his parents came, Simeon in the spirit came into the temple. And at that very moment, the Bible tells us Anna also came. You see, God reveals his secret purposes in history to humble servants who continually live in his presence. Anna is now at length abundantly rewarded for her persevering devotion to God. At the exact moment Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus to the temple, and Simeon took him into his arms and began to bless God, Anna, who was so constant to the temple, could not miss that opportunity. She was also directed by the Spirit to come at that very moment. You see, Anna, like Simeon, had a very intimate personal relationship with God. Aside, God granted to her also the blessed insight of recognizing his son, Messiah, at the first Christmas. I tell you, friends, the greatest blessing of persevering devotion to God is the blessing of God revealing himself to the believer. Here, God rewarded Anna's life of unceasing prayer and worship by revealing the Messiah to her at the first Christmas. What a special and sweet moment it was for Anna, who had known so much sorrow and sadness in her life. While the sweet and special moment led Anna to express her gratitude to God, and in describing her thanksgiving to God, the Bible uses a rare and rich verb. The word is anthohomologeomai. Anthohomologeomai. It is used only here in the New Testament, in the Greek New Testament. It also means to praise, so that word can be translated praise, publicly express thanks, to acknowledge fully, to celebrate fully in praise with thanksgiving. I tell you, friends, Anna's passion in life had become one of celebrating God fully in praise with thanksgiving. Her passion in life had become one of publicly expressing thanks to God. Her passion in life had become one of praising God and acknowledging him fully. Do you know someone like that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Anna's life, we see her giving thanks or thanking God fully, faithfully, and freely. And this is very interesting because this is late in the life of Anna. So it tells me she must have cultivated a life of thanksgiving when she was younger. And it continued with her to the end of her life. Do you see for yourself Anna's triumph in tragedy? She triumphed in tragedy by blessing God, not blaming God. By giving thanks to God, not grumbling against God. By praising God, not pouting to God. By celebrating God, not complaining against God. Please listen. God preserved Anna's story at the first Christmas to show us how you and I can triumph in tragedy. If you are depending on the Holy Spirit to commit yourself to blessing Jesus, to praising Jesus, to giving thanks to Jesus, God Almighty will also work graciously in your life to triumph in your tragedy to his glory and for his good. Bible commentator William Barclay shares another practical and powerful insight on Anna's life of triumph in tragedy. And I quote him again. He says, Anna was a widow. She had known sorrow and she had not grown bitter. Sorrow can do one of two things to us. It can make us hard, bitter, resentful, rebellious against God, or it can make us kinder, softer, more sympathetic. It can despoil us of our faith, or it can root faith ever deeper. It all depends how we think of God. If we think of him as a tyrant, we will resent him. If we think of him as father, we too will be sure that a father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear. The years had left Anna without bitterness and in unshakable hope, because day by day she kept her contact with him who is the source of strength, and in whose strength our weakness is made perfect. End quote. You see, Anna's life of gratitude rooted her faith ever deeper in God. God used her trials and tragedy to shape and strengthen her faith in God. Several years ago, a tourist in Maine was watching a farmer build a stone wall. After a few moments, he inquired about the wall's strange dimensions. It was 4 feet high and 5 feet wide. The farmer explained, "I'm building like this so that if it ever blows over, it will be taller than it was before." No doubt, the farmer said this with tongue in cheek. Yet there is a good lesson to be drawn from this story. You see, even though the storms of trial may seem to blow over us, the Lord uses such experiences to make us taller than we were before. This is exactly what God did in Anna's life. Anna's attitude of gratitude, even at this stage, late stage of her life, can be summed up in the words of the poet by name Sorrel. "I thank you, Lord, for trial sore. That taught me how to trust you more. For when I found no other stay, I learned to lean on you each day." Does it seem as if God has abandoned you in the midst of your great trials? Please remember, God uses such experiences to teach us how to trust Him more and more, and to make us taller than we were before. Now, having shared the personal description of Anna, having spoken of the perseverance of Anna, and having spelled out the passion of Anna, the Holy Spirit now leads Luke to set before us the proclamation of Anna in verse 38b. The proclamation of Anna is the crowning moment of Anna's story of triumph in tragedy. Although Simeon and Anna were very old, they had never lost their hope that they will see the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Led by the Holy Spirit, they were among the first to bear witness to Jesus at the first Christmas. You see, God gave Anna the glorious and blessed privilege of recognizing Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. And that privilege, recognition of Jesus at the first Christmas, led to her proclamation. Notice how the story of Anna ends. How did it end? Well, it ends not with Anna telling us about her problems, her pains, her pain in life, not even about her perseverance in life, but about her proclamation of Jesus Christ. That, I tell you, friends, is triumph in tragedy. Anna's life mission is now telling others about Jesus. And so the story ends in Anna's life with this life-changing and lovely words. It says, "And continued," that is, she continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, the Greek verb translated "spoke" comes from the verb laleo. It has a deep meaning in the original language. It means to speak and thereby assert, to proclaim, to communicate something to someone. Please listen carefully as I bring this message to a close. Anna may be an old widow. She may be frail and feeble. Her physical strength may be fading and failing. But please make no mistake about this. When she speaks about Jesus to others, she does so with what? Great authority. She speaks with great conviction about Jesus. She communicates with confidence about Jesus. You see, when you know Christ, you can't help but speak about him to others. I like Anna a lot. She didn't join a widow support group to talk about her trials of widowhood. She simply committed herself, her life, to speaking about Jesus after recognizing him at the first Christmas as the Messiah. So, in conclusion, has God graciously revealed Jesus to you? Has God opened your eyes to recognize that Jesus is the way and the life and the truth? Then it is now your turn and my turn to speak and thereby assert that Jesus is God's perfect solution to our sin problem? Will you rely on the Holy Spirit to share the good news to a lost and dying world? Would you commit to speaking about Jesus so that you too can leave a legacy like the legacy of Anna? She left a legacy of what? Speaking about Jesus Christ to those who have ears to hear and hearts to hear. I tell you, friends, Jesus is willing to set you on the path of experiencing triumphs in your trials and tragedy, to live a triumphant and thriving life to the praise of His glory. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you can enter this path today. Whatever you call your tragedy in life, perhaps loneliness, perhaps loss of a loved one, loss of your health, family problems, financial difficulties, well, Jesus can set you on the path of triumphing in your trials. You just tell Jesus today that you need His forgiveness for often wanting to quit, to walk away from Him, blaming Him instead of blessing Him in the midst of your trials. And trust Jesus today to empower you with fresh power to live triumphantly a life of thankfulness in your trials. And now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you cannot experience triumph in your tragedy. Why? It's because triumphing in your tragedy begins with Jesus Christ. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because He can come into your situation and turn it around, having turned your heart around. So come to Jesus today just as you are, and confess to Jesus that you are a sinner in need of His forgiveness. And the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord with childlike faith, that He died on the cross for your sins and that He rose again from the dead on the third day, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I commit this message to you. Accomplish your purpose through this message. And now I pronounce your blessing upon your people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us today, tomorrow, till we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen.